This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle, and my guest today is Jessica Robertson, co-founder and chief content officer of Together. Together, spelled T-O-G-E-T-H-X-R, is a media and commerce company founded by Jessica Robertson and four of the world's greatest athletes, soccer superstar Alex Morgan, snowboarder and two-time Olympic gold medalist Chloe Kim, gold medal swimmer Simone Manuel, and WNBA and Olympic legend Sue Bird. Great to have you on the show, Jess.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, there's a quote that comes from you that I think says a lot. There is no neutral right now when it comes to issues in women's sports. Women's sports and female athletes have been so far ahead of culture that culture has to catch up with these women. And a brand like ours isn't waiting for that. And Together has really been growing, hasn't it?
It's been an incredible 4 years. We just celebrated our 4 year anniversary at the beginning of March. And what's really been incredible to see outside of our own growth is the investment and growth that's happening sort of commensurately in the women's sports space as a whole. The context, the cultural context in particular, at the time of when we launched, has also massively changed for the better. You quoted something I say quite often about culture needing to catch up with these women. We know that the women's sports space sort of coexists within a lot of cultural intersections. And it's really challenging to talk about women's sports without understanding the isms that exist in women's sports and the cultural context of women's sports. Because of the community that comprises women's sports. I mean, the isms are everything from racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, all of those things. And these still are some of the most powerful women in our culture. And they've always been ahead and pulling and leading culture forward. And when we were building this brand in 2020, at which point there were a lot of sort of like cultural reckonings happening at the time, a lot of cultural conversations happening at the time. That was sort of the turning point where I think culture started to catch up with where these women in this space has been for so long. And it's exciting too to be at a place where we're talking about the commercial juggernaut that is women's sports without sort of being weighed down still by some of those isms. They still exist, of course, but the context is everything, and it's been an incredible growth period for us, but more importantly, for the space as a whole and for these incredible athletes.
We're going to talk about your career, but this company and you started with a call from Alex Morgan back in 2019. So the tremendous growth since that conversation, and I've heard Sue Bird talk about, then she got the call, right, to come on board, and she was thinking about having her own company, but she realized the power of having so many of these great athletes together along with you, Jess, because of your background, that has really made this company grow. Now, people might ask, why did this company come about? Well, women make up 44% of all participants in sport, yet only receive less than 17% of sports media coverage. Thus, with a focus on rich storytelling, and that's what I love about Together, is the storytelling aspect. It's an unapologetic platform where representation and equality is the norm, a place where culture, activism, lifestyle, and sports converge, as you mentioned. This is something that is very special, but, you know, for me, Jess, Sports Jam, I've had so many women guests, and I want to run down a few just for you. We're talking about late basketball Hall of Famer Ann Donovan, and Ann was one of the reasons why early on in my lifetime that I became a fan of women's athletics, because she was the tallest person I had ever met when I met her at Penn State, and she was playing for Old Dominion. And I looked up, and I couldn't believe it. Fast forward years later, I get to be the PA announcer for the Seton Hall women's basketball team that she was coaching at the time.
You know, I was pretty introverted young kid, and It was something I enjoyed doing because it was someplace I could go with my brothers and sisters and kind of hang out, do something fun, and kind of get in, lost in my own little world without having to be real social or communicate with a lot of different people. So I guess so. I guess I found my niche there, and it was a family away from my own family that encouraged me to kind of plant my feet and see if I could grow and do something with the game.
She was one of the most fascinating, caring people that I have ever been around. She even had her whole team provide a Christmas card for me. I mean, I'm the PA announcer, right? At First Seton Hall. And she had every one of her players. That's the kind of person she was. And we had great conversations. She was on this show. Great conversations about playing against Penn State. Cheryl Ellison, who was playing for the Nittany Lions at that time, went to my high school. And this goes back to my love of women's athletics because our basketball team at Franklin Regional had Cheryl Ellison, who went to Penn State and started there, had Pam Miklasiewicz, who started at the University of Pittsburgh, and they were a lot better than our basketball team, which I was the point guard for, right? So I've always had an appreciation for women's sports. And some of the participants on this show go to all different kinds of sports. Trinity Rodman, as you see behind me, Mia Hamm, Joetta Clark-Diggs, Oksana Bayul, Ann Donovan, of course, Nancy Lieberman, gold medalist swimmers like Leah Neal and Natalie Hines, groundbreaking jockey Emma Jane Wilson. The list goes on and on. Hillary Knight and Jocelyn Lamoureux and her twin Monique. They've all been a part of this show. So I understand the importance of women's sports, but it's really becoming where other people are getting it now, and they're watching it and they're supporting it. And that's where Together comes in. Talk about it, Jess.
I'm so jealous of these incredible conversations with you've had with these incredible women. And some of the names that you're mentioning there, Ann Donovan was sort of one of my icons too. I grew up playing basketball in a small town in Kentucky, and she and even Nancy Lieberman in so many ways were see it, be it figures for me, which sort of ties back into the book, which I know we're going to talk about here in a bit. But for us together, when I got this call from Alex Morgan in 2019, she was going into a World Cup year, which, if you know, in women's sports, there are two sort of massive global platforms every 2 years that really drive visibility and, more importantly, sponsorships in the space. That's an Olympic year, and a World Cup year. And as she's going into that World Cup in France at the time, the US national team was suing effectively their employer for equal pay. She knew that there was a real moment to be had around women's sports and driving investment outside of those 2 year cycles we see, but something consistent and sustained every single day, every single year. And she, as great of an athlete as she is, I don't have to say female or woman in front of that word athlete for it to be true, has also been sort of on the receiving end, as all female athletes are, of lesser visibility, lesser endorsements, a lot of inequity across the board. And with all of her, I would say, platform and privilege to an extent, she wanted to build something that was bigger than herself, but more importantly, drove that sustained investment and storytelling that you mentioned. The importance of visibility cannot be understated when we're talking about women's sports. There is a cycle that exists in women's sports or has existed in the past that Together was built to disrupt, which is, you quoted 17% visibility of all sports storytelling at the time in 2019, of 100% of sports coverage. Less than 5% of that was dedicated to women's sports. If, and that's not even to talk about the quality of those stories, the depth of those stories, the breadth of those stories, the diversity of those stories. That's just a really low, criminally low stat. And if you're not telling these incredible stories, if you're not broadcasting the games, if you're not creating shoulder programming, if there's not more visibility, it's incredibly hard to grow the audience or the community within the women's sports space or the broader sports ecosystem as a whole. And if the perception is that there is no audience to reach or no community to reach, or if you're at a team or league and you're not putting butts in seats, then brands aren't going to show up and invest in the space because they don't think it's worth their ROI. And if brands aren't investing in the space, then media companies, in particular legacy media companies, don't tell those stories or don't make that inventory available because they're not going to get paid to do so. They're not receiving, it's not worth their ROI either. So when we launched together, the goal initially was to disrupt that cycle, starting with visibility, to create a powerful, culturally resonant home for female athletes and their stories, but also create a home for the women's sports community as a whole.
My playing career is over, and I am so proud of the work that I did. Players, they're given these big platforms. There's now a pathway for women to just play soccer.
Many incredible moments in my career, but this one, this last moment I share on the field with you, I will cherish forever. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
When people retire, everyone always asks what's next. I think the funny thing is for female athletes, we're already building what's next now. It's not like what's next, it's just like a continuation of what I'm already doing. We don't wait until we're retired and our playing career is done in order to build the next thing. We've been building it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Morgan.
We wanted together to serve as a platform that was a see it, be it, maybe even for the next generation of athletes coming up. But we knew by doing that, we could grow the community and thereby grow the investment that was happening in the space. And I think we're seeing that's true. You quoted 17%. As I mentioned, we were at 4% when we started this company. I think we might end 2025 upwards of 20% and beyond. Incremental, we'll take it. It's proof that growth is happening. There's still more work to be done, but we knew if we created it, it's not a, if you build it, they will come. It's make it available, they're already here. It was a no-brainer. And Alex didn't want to do that by herself. She wanted to do that with a powerful collective around her. And I think female athletes are used to this. They understand the power of the collective. It has to be about the collective because of those intersections I was talking about at the top. And that's where Alex called me, Alex called Sue, Alex called Chloe Kim because they knew each other from Team USA. And Alex called Simone Manuel, who, as our fourth co-founder, represents everything that this brand stands for, which is sort of barrier breaking first, cultural resonance, and intersection.
One of the things that I definitely wanted to touch upon is why would Alex Morgan call Jess Robertson? Well, it's because of your wonderful resume. Not only an assistant editor at Rolling Stone at one time, you started off as an intern, senior editor at AOL Music, director of content at MTV, you worked for Derek Jeter's media company, and much more. And so, all these skills, and as an ex-athlete yourself, you were the perfect person to help Alex put this together, right?
I was flattered that Alex called me and considered what a partnership between us to build this would look like. I, first and foremost, would just consider myself a storyteller. I did grow up playing sports. I'm not an ex-athlete. I moonlight as an amateur boxer these days. I can't quit it. But I did have a very formative sort of like sports and life experience when I was 13. I remember vividly watching the 1996 Summer Olympics that were held in Atlanta that year. It was also an Olympic Games, which was happening amidst the cultural backdrop of what we were calling girl power at the time. This is like sort of the era of like Lilifair and Spice Girls. They were coming up right behind that. But I remember watching the USA basketball team, the soccer team, gymnastics team, Magnificent Seven, the softball team, all of them dominating those games and winning gold. Even a I played softball and I played basketball. I remember wanting to be Dot Richardson, which is another sort of icon in sport that whose story deserves to be told on a much bigger platform. But it was really formative for me. And when I was at the Players Tribune in particular, Derek Jeter was very adamant that we didn't just center male athletes in their stories. It's easy to do that. That it should be a home for all athletes and all of their experiences and all of their narratives. So, as I was head of content over the course of 4.5 years, sort of mission and a lot of my personal work in my day to day in particular was with working with female athletes to tell their stories. So, I built, I think, a lot of really good relationships. I also really started to understand the nuance that exists in women's sports, which is, I think, critical when you want to tell stories in that space. And I was immensely passionate about it. So I knew Alex through my work at the Players Tribune. I'd known Sue for years through work at the Players Tribune and Simone Manuel. And I think more than anything, because of my sort of like deep experience with them and relationships with them, and also understanding the nuances that exist in women's sports, also having an eye for the cultural currency and resonance that could exist in women's sports if you just nailed the branding quite right. I think they trusted me as a partner who got it, but more importantly, could build it because I have a history of building consumer-facing brands inside bigger companies or even startups like the Players Tribune.
And you paid your dues as an intern at Rolling Stone. Not a lot of money in your pocket, made the move to New York City, and look what's happened, Jess.
It's surreal to think about. It was 20 years ago. I was in college. I went to Middle Tennessee State University on an academic scholarship, and I wanted to work in A&R at a record company. I equal to my passion for sports is my passion for music. And as I studied the music business, which really is just studying a lot of contract and copyright law, and marketing, I was sort of disillusioned by the business of it all, but I was obsessed with artists and their art and the why behind their art, and I wanted to tell those stories. You can do that through marketing, of course, but my minor was journalism, and I had a professor who was a music and entertainment journalist, and she became a mentor of mine, but she asked if I had ever considered music journalism. And I guess maybe subconsciously I had, but I never quite articulated it because I thought my path would be record label. And she got me a couple of freelance writing gigs for the Nashville scene, which was the Nashville chapter of the Village Voice, iconic sort of music journalism institution and publication. And it lit a fire inside of me. It was clearly my passion, what I wanted to do. And if you're a music journalist at the time in particular, maybe even still true to this day, the pillar is Rolling Stone. That was sort of the mountaintop. And New York was a place that I always wanted to be in because I wanted to be in the center of that culture and do that work, and go to shows and be with artists and tell their stories. And I got an internship, my junior year, and I spent the summer inside those iconic walls outside, sitting outside of David Frick's office. And it was so formative for me. And as I left to go back and finish college, I emailed my editor and I said, I graduate here. I'm ready to work the next day. And he offered me a job and I packed everything up and I moved to New York. And it was maybe the second flight I had ever been on my entire life.
So glad that you took that flight. And speaking of storytelling, Together is presenting Play It Forward, How Women Are Changing Sports to Change the World. And it comes from Chronicle Books. And it features 25 inspirational stories of tenacious women from all corners of the sports universe. And it's curated by Together. And it features a foreword by Alex Morgan and afterward by Sue Bird.
Whitcomb will back it out and get it into the arms of Bird. Bird will take. You bet!
Brian, how about the fourth quarter of Sue Bird?
Her team controls the basketball. That will do it! On the back of Sue Bird, the Seattle Storm are headed to the WNBA Finals!
And when we take a look at this book, Play It Forward, you see I have some paper sticking out of it because I've been enjoying the many chapters and the many stories that are being told here. You know, I as I mentioned earlier, I love storytelling, and it's what we do on Sports Jam. It's what we do with my regular job at WBGO. One of the stories that is told here that is such a fascinating one, if those and many have seen the movie A League of Their Own, they know about the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. Well, that's a true story for the most part. It did exist. And 98-year-old now, Mabel Blair, 97 by the time the book was, there's a chapter, She Builds a Legacy. Mabel Blair came out to play ball. And just, if I could read just a couple of notes here from this. I had to play baseball or I would have been thrown into the ocean, Mabel joked, recalling life in a family of ball players. But boy, could we play ball. I don't even remember not playing baseball. The future professional spent time in front of a radio keeping baseball scores for her brothers. She said she recalled going to Sears around Christmas time and Santa Claus was giving out dolls and baseballs. And she remembers that she was given a doll. She started to cry. I said, Mom, I wanted a ball, not a damn doll, said Maybell. I was so heartbroken, but then I got my ball. And she became a member of the All Women's Professional Baseball League and did quite well as a pitcher. She played for the Peoria Red Wings at the time. This is just one of the many stories, Jess, that are told in Play It Forward. And I think it's so special. What are your thoughts about Mabel Blair?
Mabel Blair is a force of life. I was lucky enough to meet Mabel in 2022 at a conference in Southern California, and talk about one of the most charismatic, powerful, tough, hilarious women you will ever meet. Tells it like it is, women you will ever meet in your entire life. I was starstruck, actually. I think her story in particular is really representative of that generation. There was talk about gender constructs at the time. There weren't really a lot of choices. It was pretty binary. And her story, I think, is revolutionary at the time, but is also an example of one that we started telling her story at scale maybe 3-4 years ago. So all this time has passed and it's recent history. She's one of the sort of biggest barrier breakers that exists in this space. And I'm so glad the world knows her and is celebrating her now. And even, you know, there's another layer of her story where she recently also came out and talked very openly and vulnerably about not just her experience as an athlete at that time and what it meant for social constructs and gender constructs and the challenges, but and now sort of contextually what that means for us in the course of history, but also like what it was like to have to hide who she was for so long because society wasn't accepting or wasn't quite there yet, or there was a fear of that. She's such a pioneer and she's such an icon. And one of the reasons that we wanted to create this collection and play it forward is to tell stories like hers and cement them on record, like actual physical record that you can see and feel and touch and keep, because there's so many other stories like hers. Maybelle's story is one of my favorite generally of the, I would say the last 5 years, but it's one of my favorites in the book.
Yeah, me too. Quite a lady who has just indeed built a legacy. And thank goodness that she has been around for 98 years to be able to tell her whole story when you think about Mabel Blair.
This used to be my playground. This used to be my childhood dream. Used to be the place I ran to whenever I was in need of a friend. Why did it have to end? And why do they always say, don't look back?
Another A chapter is dedicated to the 1976 Yale women's crew team and their captain, Christine Ernst. And this has to do with Title IX. I'd like you to maybe tell people a little bit about this chapter and why it's important to play it forward.
Title IX, this story in particular for me is important in the context of where Title IX is today. There's also, I mean, there's a another story I think about in parallel to this one that has to do with Katie Ledecky, a story I wish that we had included in the book. Her mom, as an example, I'm using as a corollary to the story in the book, her mom was an incredible swimmer, and she was one of the first recipients of a scholarship at university because of Title IX. And I think about the sort of ripple effects of that into what we see now with Katie Ledecky and all that's possible and all of her incredible championships. We just celebrated the 50th anniversary of Title IX, which is sort of surreal to say. And I think Title IX is one of those key points of legislation that has created what is possible for today. And I think as we think about legislation now and where culture is going and how we continue to invest and grow the space, it's more important than ever that we protect Title IX. So when I think about that story in particular, and I want people to read it and spend time with it, that's inherently where my sort of heart and brain goes to.
This Yale women's crew team, I'm not going to tell you all about it. I want you to read about it, but they went to the max to prove their point. Let me put it that way, that they were not being treated the way they should be. So you'll definitely want to read all of the chapters that play it forward, how women are changing sports to change the world. It's presented by Together, and it comes from Chronicle Books. This brand, with more than 3 million community members, Together describes itself as the fastest growing women's sports brand. I've heard you say that community is indeed the most important thing and the thing you're most proud of when it comes to Together.
Community is everything when we think about this brand and what it's supposed to represent. And when we talk about community, I think especially in digital media, media companies writ large, you think about audience, you think about scale, you think about reach. We always intended for community to, yes, include those that are reading, watching, engaging, following. More importantly, community for us is important because we wanted to be a home for athletes and women's sports fans to give them a space to go and to commune also with each other. 200,000 plus, we call them inner circle members, community members who have subscribed to our newsletter, texts, the sort of appetite for more coming out of our brand and our community is really important. They tell us who to be sometimes, where to show up, which stories to tell. And what I've learned more importantly about this community, the larger women's sports community as a whole, is they'll show up for you if you show up for them. And they are deeply, deeply loyal. It's a massive, massive space that is uncapped, especially if you compare it to men's sports, where there's some cap literally across the board. Our community, I think, is our biggest differentiator from those in the women's sports space as a whole, and is also the thing I think that will really and truly drive our growth over the years.
It's a beautiful platform, and if you check out the videos, they're not just all about great athletes. They're high school stars and all those people that you haven't heard about. We just have a couple of minutes left. I want you to talk about, if you could, how far can we go with women's sports when it comes to equal pay? That's always been an issue and things like that. Where do you stand on this, Jess?
I think we have to change cultural perception of what we mean when we say equal pay. I think what these athletes are talking about is equitable. I think it's achievable. I do think this is where culture is really actually important and conscious investment is really, really important. I remember 2 weeks after we launched in March of 2021. Sedona Prince, who at the time was playing basketball at the University of Oregon, went live on TikTok, sort of showcasing the inequity in the weight room at the NCAA Women's Tournament, which at the time we could not call March Madness, which is sounds sort of wild to say out loud. Compared to that of the men's weight room, they were both, I think, hosted in Texas at the time. It was the pandemic, I understand. But the men's weight room had like squat racks, bench presses, dumbbell, everything you could possibly need to perform at your highest level and compete at your highest level. They respected the athleticism and the competition on the men's side. In the women's weight room, there were a couple of dumbbells and I think yoga mats. So, how could you, as an elite athlete, even perform at your highest if you don't have the resources to invest in your body to perform in the first place? And I think, and I mention all of this because it does address, I'll come back to your question. I think it was a reckoning where brands in particular who were partners of the NCAA had to look at themselves and ask, was I part of that problem? Did I unintentionally, perhaps, create this inequity? And what can I do to right size that? So we started to see brand partners investing in this space, more money coming into the space over the last 4 years, team valuations going up, more leagues and teams being launched. We're seeing all of that growth is going to drive equity. CBAs are still really, really important. But that moment created a shift in how we perceive women's sports from being a charity or like a runoff to a bigger check I'm writing on the men's side to what we see now, which is it's great business. And the better these women perform, and the more we as a culture appreciate them for their athleticism and their achievements and their accomplishments, the more money there is to be had across the board. And I think we'll get there. I really do. This in the past, it felt like we were on a sort of a boom and bust cycle in women's sports. This one feels different. This feels sustained because women's sports is good business and it's commercial now, which is incredibly rewarding to see. I can't wait to see for the growth to come.
Jess Robertson is the co-founder and chief content officer of Together, the media and commerce company founded by Jess and for the world's greatest athletes, Alex Morgan, Chloe Kim, Simone Manuel, and Sue Bird. And they are making a difference. And you're a pioneer, Jess. And thanks for joining us on Sports Jam.
Thank you so much for having me, Doug.
Sports Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can check out all the past shows by going to wbgo.org/sportsjam or wbgo.org/studios. You can also find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Special thanks going out to Joe Favorito for hooking us up with Jess Robertson. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.